Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'll be talking to you mainly about mass shootings, but before I get into that, I want to briefly get into something much lighter that's been on my mind for a long time that is not nearly enough content to get its own episode, and that is about video games. And no, it is not related directly to mass shootings at all. In fact, I would say that they're not connected at all. When it comes to video games, I've seen these ads on YouTube now where there are these lawsuits. At least, allegedly, there are lawsuits suing the companies that make video games, saying they're too addictive, they've ruined your life, da 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 da. And they'll name Minecraft, Fortnite, Roblox, etc., etc. Now, I know Roblox has another thing going on right now. I'm not going to get into that today. And that is more serious. That's about pedophilia. But what I will say is this. If you were playing a video game and you were so addicted to the game that it ruined your life, sorry. That's on you. That's not on the game. That's on you. It's called lack of self-control. I'm sick of this idea of blaming someone else for your every failure. I'm not saying that nothing can ever happen to you in any way. I'm not saying that you are always solely responsible for every bad thing that happens to you. You're not. But this is one of those cases where you are. If you spend 15 hours straight playing video games each day, well, then that's on you. If that's all you do, if you just sit there and play video games all day, well, you're the one that made that choice. Because, you see, I understand that a lot of times when you're playing these games, the device you're playing on won't show you the time. But here's the thing. Most people don't just have one device, especially if they're the type to play video games for hours and hours at a time. So, if say you're playing your video game on your phone, then you have a phone. Wow. And this phone, it has a clock on it. You know what a clock does? It tells time. So you can see how many hours you've spent if you logged on at 2 p.m. and now it's 3 a.m. Wow, revolutionary concept, I know. And you know, if you're playing on your tablet, same thing, you have a phone. Playing on your phone, you have a watch, I know. I'm asking you to use older technology. Oh my gosh, next thing I know, I'll be asking you to write in stone. Just bear with me. We have these things called watches. They don't have to be smart. They can just go on your wrist. And some of them just have a clock on them. And guess what it does? It tells time. Just like a phone, but on your wrist. And it doesn't do everything a phone does, so it won't even distract you from your game. It'll just show you what time it is. Wow. And if you can't read a clock somehow, well, guess what? They even have digital watches. So, you know, it's like a phone clock, but on your wrist. Wow. So, that's basically what I have to say about that, is if you let your life be ruined by playing video games constantly and quote-unquote compulsively, it's not a compulsion. It's you not having any self-control and not keeping track of how long you spend playing video games. And we call that a you problem. So those are my thoughts on that. And yes, I can say that because I do play Minecraft, but I don't do it for 15 hours straight. I have other things to do. So, there's that. Now I want to get into the more serious grown-up stuff now. And that is, our thoughts and prayers should continue to be with the families of the victims of the tragic mass shooting that occurred earlier this week in Minnesota. It is truly a horrific that a young man can go out and throw his life away, but also throw away the lives of two children and injure several others. I believe 17 to be exact. There are no words to describe it. But today I'm not going to be getting into all the specifics of the shooting because several others have covered it already. And, I would rather get into the mass shooting problem in general because I've been meaning to this episode for like a year ever since I started this podcast. It was one topic I wanted to hit. So here we go. So I've heard different definitions of mass shooting. Some say that it's when three or more people die. Some say it's four or more. Some say it's some try to say a number of people injured, not just killed. There's not one hard and fast definition. But generally it is understood to mean when someone goes into a place and kills and or injures multiple people with a gun. Now, there are some who will say that the guns are a problem, that we need to take the guns away, and I will get into later why that's a bad idea. And there are some who will say, well, it's the people who are the problem. And I'm not, and yes, the people, the individuals themselves are the problem. Because if you buy a box of matches and you leave it on the table, or better yet, you put it in a drawer, you put it somewhere where those things usually go, your house is very, 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 very stupidly unlikely to catch fire. And if it does, it's probably not because of the matches. It's probably because of, you know, a kitchen fire that gets out of hand, or a lightning strike, or, you know, some other, a wildfire, if you live in an area where those happen, those are more likely to happen, or, you know, a forest fire. Some other, you know, the neighbor's house catches fire and it goes wild and it hits your house too, you know. There are other things that can happen that can cause a fire, obviously. Just like there are other things that can be used or that can happen that cause mass death. But if you put the matches in the drawer, if you are a responsible match owner and you put the matches in your drawer or wherever you keep those, well then, you're very unlikely to have a house fire that is caused by those matches. However, if you leave them on the table and, you know, you have a wayward kid or a wayward neighbor's kid or a random guy breaks into your house, you know, in some way an arsonist gets a hold of those matches, or someone who wishes to become an arsonist gets a hold of those matches, well, your house might burn down because of the matches. And it wasn't the matches' fault because they weren't alive. It was the person handling them's fault, the arsonist's fault, that the house burned down because of the matches. Matches are not alive. They can't decide to burn down someone's house. Just like guns are not alive, they can't decide to go kill people. They can't. They don't have brains. They're not sentient. They don't have legs. They can't walk. This sounds elementary, but apparently some people need to learn this because they don't seem to get it. Or they choose not to. I'm more inclined to believe that version, because there's no way you're a grown adult and you think that guns are alive and sentient. And if they were, I don't want to live in that horror movie. No, thank you. But anyway, so clearly it is the people's fault. And now I want to touch on something else, because every time one of these things occurs, you hear that the person is mentally disturbed. Now, I'm sure that is the case. In fact, I think we should do away with this whole idea of seeing if someone's sane or not when they are arrested for murder. You know why? Because if you murder someone, you are clearly insane. Sane people, as I stated in a previous episode, do not kill people. The only time they do is in cases of genuine self-defense, where their lives or the lives of their friends and families are in danger, and they are presented with no other viable options for protecting themselves or others. You know, we call that self-defense. So that doesn't even count as murder. At least it shouldn't. And oftentimes, it doesn't. That's why we have stand your ground laws, for instance. And it's a sad thing that they're not the case in every state, because they should be. Because, you know, if your life is threatened, or your family's lives are threatened, or your friends' lives are threatened, you should be able to protect them. But you should also use discernment in how you do so. You should only use lethal force if you are presented with no other viable option. Just like the way police are trained. Police are trained to not use lethal force unless there is no other viable alternative. That doesn't mean that they don't ever mess up. Sometimes they do. But the vast majority of the time, they don't. The vast majority of the time, when a person gets shot by police, it's because they were being a dingbat and trying to harm the officer. Trying to run him over with a car, or trying to get a gun and shoot him, or doing something else that's extremely stupid and not in their best interest. And so there's that. The next thing that I want to get into is that the Second Amendment grants the right to bear arms. Now, you will often hear the phrase well-regulated militia, specifically the well-regulated part of it, from those who try to argue for gun laws and stuff. I actually think that we should have minimal gun laws, with the exception you shouldn't be able to own a nuclear weapon, obviously. Maybe not a machine gun either, but, like, beyond that. I'm not in favor of gun laws in general, because I am a small government libertarian. So therefore, I don't support a lot of these excessive regulations. And so where I was going with the well-regulated, excuse me, part of that is this. Words' meanings can change over time, especially over centuries. I covered this distinction in a previous episode, but I feel I should refresh you with it. So in that episode, I used the example of the word conversation, and I will use it again here. In the KJV, which is the only version of the Bible that I read, conversation is defined as living. I mean, I'm not sure if it's explicitly defined in there, but you know what I mean. That's what it meant back then. It meant living, the way you live, your life. When it says your conversation should be good, it refers to your life, the way you live. You should live a good life. Or holy, or I don't remember exactly the wording used. But suffice it to say that conversation did not quite mean what it does today. Because today, obviously, conversation means when you and another person sit down and talk. You know, if you and I sit down and talk about football, that's a conversation. If I had a guest on here right now and we were talking about this issue and this subject matter, exchanging ideas and information, we would be having a conversation. Speaking of which, if you'd like to be a guest, please feel free to email or message me on the podcast social media pages. I would love to have some guests on here, but that's, you know, that's a plug beside the point. The main point here is that words' meanings can change over time, especially over multiple centuries. So, similarly to the conversation example, regulated changed meanings too. When the Constitution was written in the 1780s, it regulated meant that a militia, because that's what it was referring to, it meant that a militia regulated, which meant, and I hate using words and definitions, but bear with me, it meant that the militia practiced regularly. It did not mean well-regulated as in well-regulated by the government, like with a bunch of extra laws and rules. They would say that a militia regulated, that they were called regulars. Actually, when Paul Revere warned the colonists that the British were coming, it is believed, with pretty good evidence, that he did not say the British are coming, that more accurately he would have said the regulars are coming, because back in 1775, this was April 1775, was over a year before the Declaration of Independence was written. So most people probably still saw themselves to one extent or another as British. It is actually believed that a third of the colonists favored independence, a third were loyal to the king, and or just wanted to not break away from England for one reason or another, and a third were unsure, or neutral, or maybe to some extent some of them might not have felt they could express their true opinions, but that's kind of hard to tabulate. But that is what is generally believed, is that a third favored independence, a third did not, and a third were unsure, neutral, whatever. Like, didn't have a clear opinion one way or the other. And so, this would mean that a significant portion of the colonists at the time would have seen themselves as British. So, you know, think of it this way. If we're sitting there, and you know, we're just drinking coffee or whatever, we're eating, just minding our own business, and a police car drives past my house. And you're not going to tell me, like, when you see the police car, you're not going to say, oh my gosh, the Americans are coming. No, you're going to say, like, that's a police car. That's a, the police are coming. If you acknowledge it at all, most of the time you just don't, if they're not coming directly for you. Most of the time people don't even acknowledge it, but let's say you did. You wouldn't say the Americans are coming, you would say the police are coming. Because, well, putting aside how I view myself for a second, because it's not really super relevant to this analogy, you and I would be Americans, and so would the police officers. So it would, you know, if you said the Americans are coming, and you were not, you know, an undocumented immigrant or a tourist, or like if you were a U.S. citizen, most people would rightly look at you like you had three heads and a tail. And so, yeah, the well-regulated militia phrase does not refer to government regulation. It refers to the frequency that the militia trained. So there's that. I'm not even going to entertain the idea of whether you could buy a cannon or not, because essentially back then the cannon was their nuclear weapon. The cannon was like the most powerful weapon that people had or that people could conceive of or that people had seen. So I'm not even going to entertain that argument, because that's like saying, well, you can't own a nuclear weapon, which is true. I don't believe the government should regulate our lives super heavily, but I can totally support a law against owning a nuclear weapon. Because, well, it's a nuclear weapon. That should speak for itself. If you don't understand that, you might need some help. I'm sorry to say. So there's that. Now, I want to briefly get into, this idea of, like, why are there so many mass shootings? Because it is a good question we should be asking, because there was a time, decades ago, when people brought guns to school. Like, maybe not brought them into the school, but at least left them in their cars. Maybe brought them to school in some cases. But it was not illegal to bring them onto school grounds. Now, if you did that, I'd be like going to Alaska in January and wearing shorts and a tank top. You'd be stupid. Because you'd just be asking for trouble. And back then, you would occasionally have a boy, usually a boy, maybe not always, I haven't looked at every case study, but you would occasionally have a student that died, and generally it was because of some kind of accident or because of an argument, like how teenage boys are known to get into arguments, and sometimes, quite often, it's over stupid stuff, you know. So you would occasionally have a death because of guns at school, but it wasn't a school shooting, per se. It was not a mass shooting. And so, what could be leading to this rise in mass shootings? I think there are several factors at play. I definitely think, as some have pointed out, so therefore I won't belabor these points, I definitely think that it's worth considering the effects of SSRIs, the rates of fatherlessness, things of that nature. But I think that one thing that should definitely be considered is, two things that are extremely interconnected: social media and online radicalization. And they also lead to a third thing, which is isolation from the physical community around you. And I also think that a lack of church attendance, a lack of spiritual instruction in the schools, a lack of instilling faith in kids does not help, because giving kids a religious education won't 100% prevent them from doing horrible things, but it will definitely give many, many kids a sense of meaning that they're just not getting from the public school system that says you can be a boy or a girl or a chicken. And that everything is relative and neutral and blah, 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 blah. And focuses mostly on standardized test scores. Now, what I'd like to mainly touch on are online radicalization and social media, two very interconnected things. Because I think that part of why you're seeing such a rise in this is you have a lot of, especially young men, not always, I mean, the Covenant shooter was a girl. You have seen, you know, there was that older dude that committed the Las Vegas 2017 mass shooting, but a lot of times it's young men, and they either A, have a message they want to send. So, for example, the the Buffalo supermarket shooter, the Tree of Life shooter, although he was a bit older. He was not a young man, as far as I understand. I'm sure there are others. I'm just forgetting them right now. They're not coming to mind. They have a message they want to send. They have some sort of political statement that they want to make. And that's how they've decided to get it out and to become a part of the history books. And that's truly unfortunate. And then you also have some who are just, they're just angry. They want to watch the world burn, and they don't care how many people they take with them because they hate everything, including themselves. They may not say it that way. They may not explicitly acknowledge that, but that is their underlying motive. And so, you know, they're fine with killing innocent people because they don't care. They hate human life. They hate everything. They hate the world. They hate themselves. They're mad at the world. They feel that the world has wronged them in some way. And then you have a third category who are just nuts. Like, even if they have a motive, it's not coherent or it's not known. Or both. As I've said, all of these have some sort of mental problem because you cannot be sane and kill innocent people. Like, that's just... I mean, unless, you know, you accidentally run someone over with your car, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who deliberately goes into a school or other public place and shoots a bunch of people. You don't accidentally commit a mass shooting. That's just not something that happens. It's deliberate. And anyone who would deliberately do that has some screws loose, whether people want to admit it or not. And I also think that there are a lot of people out there, and this has probably existed before the internet, there are a lot of people who just don't see the difference between good attention and bad attention. They want attention. And so they will do attention-seeking things, shocking things, because they're selfish and all they care about is getting attention for themselves, getting their names in the history books, leaving some kind of mark, even if it's not political. And so I think that mass shootings are a problem that cannot be solved from just taking away the guns. The guns are not the problem. The people are, because last I checked, guns are not sentient. They're not alive even. They can't decide to do these things. It's the person holding the gun or the person owning the gun who decides what to do with it. If you leave a box of matches on the table, let's say you have a local man who is known for breaking into people's houses, and he breaks into your house, he gets the matches, and he starts setting houses on fire because he's an arsonist, because he's crazy. Or more likely, let's say you're a shop owner and you sell matches, and a guy comes in and he's a known arsonist and you sell him the matches. Well, that was, if you knew he was an arsonist and you sold him the matches anyway, well, that's a problem. That's an error of judgment on your part. If you didn't know, well, you didn't know. You can't be held, to the same standard as if you knew, because you clearly didn't. Or if you have a son who is known for doing such things, if you have a teenage son who is known for setting houses on fire, and you let him have unfettered access to the matches, well, you can't be surprised when he starts setting stuff on fire. It's obviously not right, but that doesn't mean that you should necessarily be punished for it, because the Bible is clear that the sins of the son should not be visited on the father and vice versa. it does mean that you probably didn't have the best judgment in giving him unrestricted access to matches when you knew he was, he'd been talking about burning things down, or he had a history of burning things down, or he, you know, otherwise was out there. Maybe he thought that the walls were talking to him, or maybe he thought that he was being persecuted in some way. Whatever the case may be, that still doesn't mean it was the match's fault for setting things on fire, because the matches aren't alive. They can't set things on fire. It's the person who has them. It is the person who has possession of them at the time. And so it is clearly the people who kill people, not the guns. I don't want to live in the horror movie where guns are alive and sentient and can decide to do things on their own. But thankfully, we don't live in that horror movie. We live in real life. And guns don't do that, because they don't have brains, and they don't have legs, and they don't have... They're not alive. They don't breathe on their own. They don't... They're inanimate objects. Which leads me into my next point, which is that when you take them away, you, A, are left with criminals who still do have access to them, because newsflash... Extra, extra, read all about it. Newsflash, criminals are not necessarily known for following laws. That's the whole idea of a crime, of a criminal. A criminal is someone who breaks the law, like specifically breaks criminal law, commits offenses against society, is how it's usually defined, as opposed to a civil infraction where one party just causes some sort of offense to another party, like, say, negligence or breach of contract might be a civil infraction, or stuff like that. That's like, if you deny that, that's like if you hear, say, you hear about a shoplifting that happens at a Walmart, and your reaction is, no, they didn't. They clearly didn't steal from Walmart, because, see, it's illegal to steal from Walmart. So clearly, no one's stealing from Walmart, because it's illegal to steal from Walmart. See? There's no law. There's a law that prevents that. So clearly, that's not happening. You can wish that all day long. You can wish that till you're blue in the face. That can be your last words. There's no stealing at Walmart, because there's a law against it. Like, that can be your last words. But that doesn't mean that it's the case. Like, there's a law against stealing from Walmart, but people still do it. So, if you make a law against owning guns, well, criminals are still going to find a way to own guns, because they're criminals. They're not known for following the law. That's basic job description of being a criminal is don't follow the laws. Unfortunately, there are people out there like that. And a lot of them are those same types that just want to watch the world burn. Especially if we're talking about violent crimes. And so what happens then is, if you pass a law forbidding the ownership or possession of firearms, well, all you're doing is taking them away from the people who follow the laws. So the people who don't, well, they're not affected unless they get arrested or something, because guess what? They don't follow the laws. They don't care. It's basic logic. And also, I've been clear that the whole assault weapons thing, because you hear a lot about that after these types of things happen, you hear about assault weapons bans, and get rid of assault weapons, and assault weapons this, assault weapons that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, the thing is, nobody has ever provided a clear definition of what an assault weapon is. I did a whole episode on that, so if you want to check that out, you can feel free to do so. All I'll say is this, basically anything can be used as a weapon. And so, based on the way assault is defined, basically anything can be an assault weapon. So, if you were to have an assault weapon ban and you were to apply it to its logical conclusion, you would essentially be banning everything. You'd even have to ban your own hands and feet and teeth, because those could all be used as weapons to commit assault. So therefore, you would be an assault weapon. So you'd have to ban yourself. Your head, too, because you could headbutt. Headbutting is a form of assault. So you'd have to chop off your own head and you die. So yeah, you would literally be banning yourself. Actually, your whole body could be used as an assault weapon, because you could throw yourself at someone with all your might, knock them down. That's assault. So literally, if there was an assault weapon ban, you would have to ban yourself. You would be banned because you would be an assault weapon, because you could potentially be used or use yourself as a weapon. In fact, you could more easily use yourself as a weapon than anything else, because you have a brain. Unlike a gun, you're alive. You can decide whether you use yourself as a weapon or not. I can decide if I throw something at Bob or not. I can decide whether to throw a pencil at Bob. The pencil can't decide if I throw it at him. The pencil doesn't have a brain. But I could decide that. I could decide whether to kick George in the face. Obviously, I wouldn't do either of these things. I wouldn't throw pencils or kick people. But just hypothetically, I could decide whether to kick George in the face, because my brain controls my foot. And my brain can decide that. My foot, even though it is alive, in a sense, you know, it's only alive as long as it's connected to my body. It doesn't have its own brain. It can't decide of its own volition whether to do that or not. So, yeah. If you were to have an assault weapons ban, you'd have to ban humans and animals, too. Because animals, we're higher than animals, which is why we're not animals. So animals are not as easy to predict, because they don't have rational thought the way we do. They have instincts, but they can be hard to predict. You know, sometimes you can't predict if that dog is going to bite you or not. So then animals would be assault weapons too. And also plants would be, because a tree could drop a branch on your head. Now, the tree can't decide to do that. The branch just falls because of gravity. But hey, these people think guns can think for themselves, so why not trees? Trees are alive, you know. So you would literally have to ban everything. You'd have to ban rocks, because, I mean, hey, avalanches exist. Rocks hit people over the head, and worse, every year on mountains. And in landslides, you'd have to ban water, because floods. Washing someone out to sea, I'm pretty sure, qualifies as assault and kidnapping. So it's stupid. It makes no sense. And then, finally, when other countries, you know, don't have as many guns because they have stricter laws, or their cultures, they just don't have as many, or both, you know what happens instead? The people who are evil and sick in the head and want to attack and kill innocent people, they find other ways to do it. That's why, for example, in Australia, there's been an increase in machete attacks over the last few years. And of course, when they're faced with that problem, there have been some officials over there who have decided that, oh, let's just have a bin where we have everybody turn them into. Forgetting that, you know, the people who are criminals, who don't follow the laws, they're not going to turn theirs in. And that's even worse than what you've heard about gun bans, because if everybody puts theirs in a bin, well, some criminal or group of criminals could just go through and take them all. Then they'd be even more dangerous. And when you take away people's ability to defend themselves, everybody else who does follow the law becomes slim pickings and easy targets. Also, part of why we have the Second Amendment in the first place is because the Founding Fathers knew that there was a chance that the government could turn tyrannical at some point. Thankfully, we haven't hit that point quite yet. It's a lot more overly involved in our lives in a lot of areas than I would like, but I wouldn't say it's tyrannical quite yet. Sure, it did invade and conquer the South, and it treated a lot of the Indians like crap, but, like, we're not living in a totalitarian state where any dissent can be punishable by jail time, obviously, or I wouldn't be on here. But the founders knew that that could happen. And so part of why we have the Second Amendment is so that people could protect their rights and their liberties and themselves in the event that such a thing would happen. And so in a lot of totalitarian regimes, one of the first things they've done is confiscate guns. They did so in Nazi Germany, communist countries, etc., etc. And when they do that, that leaves the people a lot more defenseless, at least the people who do follow the laws. Not only defenseless, but, you know, the police and the military aren't giving up their guns. So if you're living in a tyrannical government, the government still has guns and you don't. So you become at its mercy, more at its mercy than you otherwise would be. And these tyrannical governments, especially if you are, you know, someone who does not agree with, say, communism or fascism, they're not going to be very merciful towards you. So those are my thoughts when it comes to mass shootings and guns. I know it's a very heavy topic, but thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast or considered it to be food for thought or informative. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, the RSS feed, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. And if you'd like, you can send us an email at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats@gmail.com. We also have a Ko-fi page, so no pressure. But if you'd like to support us with a small donation, please feel free to do so at Jesse's Fireside Chats. Or ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. My bad. That's ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Thank you so much for listening. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and feel free to come back next time. Have a blessed day.